is reminding me about the practical application of Kingdom. So I said, hey, why don't we disrupt my cycle here and step in and let's talk about the practical application of these building blocks we're putting in our life. So with that, thank you.
What I was talking about was it's all about government. What government?
Yeah.
What government are we placing ourselves under?
When you say government, you mean?
I mean, what laws are we subject to now? We have the world that we live in, and then we have God's world, the kingdom of God, heaven. And so there's laws that operate in both realms, because we are, as Ian Clint would say, transdimensional. We live here on earth, but we also live in heaven,
right?
Because we're in him. So in Isaiah 9, Danny, can you read Isaiah 9, 6 and 7? And anybody else that brought their Bibles, you might want to get them ready.
Get ready.
I should use my blue letter, huh? 9, 6 and 7?
Yeah.
It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder.
Okay. The government, that's good. The government will be upon his shoulder. That means that we're in him. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Right.
So what he's saying is we're dead. We're dead. In Romans 6, it comes right up and says that, hey, you died. And all that pertains to you in this world is dead.
The old government.
It doesn't apply to you anymore. You died to it. It should have no effect on you. But then it says not to let sin reign in your mortal bodies. So, but we still have a choice to make. Okay, are we going to believe that, yeah, we died, and we're not susceptible to the laws of this world anymore? Or... but now we're susceptible to God's laws, because his government is way different than this one, because his government supersedes the government that's in this world. In other words, everything that Jesus is who we are.
Right.
We became him. When he died, we died. When he rose again, we rose again. And again, if you go read in Romans, that's what it says.
Right.
When he died, we died. When he rose again, we rose again. And so it says, so now live in newness of life. What newness is he talking about? It's the newness of life in him, in Christ. Now, Jesus operated from a whole different set of rules. He operated from the government that's in heaven. And so one of the laws of government in heaven is the law of the Spirit. Anybody know that one? Romans 8, 2?
Let's read it.
The law. Got it. I'll let Lita do
that. Romans 2, you said?
8-2.
8-2.
If I can get the page to turn. 8-2. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death.
Okay. So... we're under the law in him. We're under the law of the Spirit of life. So that means that when we're walking around, we have his life that's in us. The issue that we have is that of this coming in agreement with what has already happened.
Which government, right?
Yeah. This has to come in agreement with the government that we're under now. And when this comes in agreement, this falls into place too. Actually, this the heart believes before this does.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The heart already knows. Yeah. But once this and this come in, they come in agreement with each other, you can be moved from it.
I heard somebody say one time, for a believer, their biggest obstacle is between their two ears.
Yeah.
Getting it's their true. Mind to agree.
Well, and also we've never been taught right.
Yeah.
We've been taught to live by rules and regulations.
Right.
Yeah.
We're really, bottom line, Jesus was the example of how we should live our lives. And his example was having a relationship with the Father. And so he broke down, he said that the veil was torn. Because before Jesus came, there was this veil. We didn't know who we were. We didn't even know who the Father was. We didn't even know how to get in that place of having a conversation with him. But when he came, he tore the veil and opened that the whole realm of heaven up to
right.
us so that we can experience his presence, so we could experience having a relationship with him. And so our part is to learn what laws are we under now that we operate under. Another one of the laws is the one that Jesus came and it was an example for us, and that's the law of love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The law of love covers, I mean, it supersedes everything.
No kidding, right?
And so when we operate from his kingdom, it has to be out of love, because mm-hmm. love empowers
right.
all the gifts that he's given us. Love empowers them. It makes them even stronger. And so when we learn, actually it's not really a matter of learning, it's a matter of being.
Mm.
We need to learn how to be. And so how we do that is by spending time with him. And I don't know how many of you guys have experienced just closing your eyes and using your imagination to see yourself seated with him in the heavenly realm.
Right.
Right.
He gave us an imagination for a reason. The imagination is a doorway into his kingdom. Mm. And when we practice it on a daily basis, we can start seeing things in the spirit. I mean, we see things. Well, the things that we don't see have rule over the things that we do see.
Did you say that again?
The things that we can't see rule over the things that we do see.
Mm.
Right? That's what the scripture says. It overrules the things that, because you go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, guess what? Your knee's messed up. You're going to have an operation, because the x-rays show it, the MRIs show it, your knee's messed up.
Right.
But what does God's word say?
Right.
So which one is more true? What the MRIs and the x-rays are showing? Or what God's word says?
Right.
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 Okay, so which one are you going to believe?
Yeah. Right.
One's a fact, but the truth supersedes the fact.
Because the one you see, one, and what you don't see is a higher truth.
Right.
Right?
Because
the higher truth says, or the higher government says,
one man never sees.
All you have right. to do is just say, you know, be healed.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because the word says that he is our healer. Well, that operation works out of what's already inside of us. We have to learn, to believe that his life is in us. And out of that life that's already in us, when the words that we speak are actually the words that he's speaking.
Right.
But in order to get to that place, we have to spend time with him. And the more time that we spend with him, the more the reality of who we are starts coming into effect. In my own case, it was just a matter of being so hungry for the more of God
right.
that I began to pursue him in prayer, in praise and worship. This
right.
went on for several days into weeks. And then one day I just happened to just pray for somebody, and then bam, they get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I was making connection with what's already happened inside of me. We all have him in us.
Mm-hmm.
We all have, you know what I asked him this morning, Lord, before I got out of bed, I said, Lord, is there something you want to tell me, you know, for today? to share, because, you know, I was doing this on government. And he said, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. Nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. We just need to keep standing on what his word says.
Right.
I mean, I've had issues in my body before, and you know what? Our minds can go either go to the worry, the doubt, the, oh man, I'm just going to get worse, or they can just say, you know what? That's a lie. I'm not going to believe that. And Father, I just thank you for healing my knee.
Right.
Or whatever it might be. Father, thank you that the pain's going away right now. And we stand on it, and we keep standing on it, and
right.
we keep. And it has to happen, because we're making a connection from a different kingdom, a different government. In his government, nothing is impossible. In his government, when we're walking in that place, anything can happen. And really, government, it flows out of our learning how to rest in him. Rest really is our total surrender to who he is in us.
Right.
A total surrender
right,
to who
right.
he is in us. So when we learn how to rest, and really, it's simple. Just close your eyes. See yourself seated with him, far above all principality and power. And you just meditate on that.
Mm-hmm.
You meditate on it. Because it's already part of you. It's just getting this to come in agreement
right.
with what's already inside of you. So the more time you spend, you
right.
know, meditating on that, it'll become real. It has to.
I think, too, having, well, I don't know if this fits, but I like having conversations with yourself. When you're saying that, like, you're meditating on, and what did you say just right before that?
Using your imagination?
Seeing
yourself seated in the heavenly realm?
Yeah, like, sometimes I have to have a conversation with myself over why am I, or being at rest in him. Why aren't I feeling at rest? Like, sometimes I have to get my mind and my emotions in that realm, or change my mind how I think about, like, I'm not at rest because this isn't being successful. So does this have to be successful for me to be at rest? Well, no, it doesn't. So you're renegotiating with your soul over what does it mean to be at peace and at rest. And it's not contingent on yes or no, yes or no, yes or no, this happens, this doesn't happen. You live from that place.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to that right now. Actually, what happens is because of who we are, because when we come into this world, when we're born, and we come through the mother's womb and all that, Danny talked about it earlier, that God knew us before the foundation of the world. So we've been around for a long, long time as spirit beings, because
right.
he knew us even before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And so we already know about him. We know about his government. We know it all because it's in our spirit.
Mm.
But what happens is we come from the realm of eternity, being born here on this earth, coming through our mother's womb, is that when that happens, we take on the record of the fallen of Adam. We take on the record of whatever our mom and dad and our generational lines have been through.
Mm-hmm.
That record becomes part of who we are. Even, yeah, when we come into this earth. So when we get saved,
mm-hmm.
it's like God wants to erase all of that stuff. And he does, but what happens is, because some of that stuff's imprinted in our soul, sometimes there has to be people that have to come and pray over you. If there's something that you know it, you have issues with, and it's a repeated behavior over and over again, there might be some kind of an attachment there that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's called a familiar spirit
right.
that needs to be dealt with. And if you don't know that it's there, then it just keeps you keep believing a lie that it's part of you, which it isn't. And
right.
so God has made a way for us to get rid of that stuff, to cleanse our souls. And we do that either by one of several ways. One of the ways is the more time we spend with Him in the heavenly realm, by faith, closing our eyes, and then just meeting with Him, seated with Him, the more we do that, it's like that power gets less and less and less
right.
and less.
As far as an influence.
As far as an influence, because your spirit is becoming more and more aware of who you really are, mm. and that thing loses its power over time.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah.
I love that verse in 2 Timothy that says, He hasn't given us a spirit of fear,
but of power
and love and a sound mind. I think when you said the word rest, if we meditate from this place, so if we're not experiencing power, if we're not growing from love, or not at rest, any anxiety, any discouragement, it's like you're clearly operating in this other. So He's speaking to you about breaking free of that other.
Right. Now, because of who we are, I mean, we're creative. We're very creative. I mean, whatever comes into our minds, I mean, we can begin to speak it and it's going to happen. I mean, especially when you make that connection with Him. When your lifestyle is living from Him, because when you raise someone from the dead, which I haven't yet, but I got close. Somebody was in a coma, and they woke up. But anyway, for that to happen is really we have our faith, and then there's His faith. You know, He prayed that we would be one with Him, even as
right.
He is with the Father, and that we all might be one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we meditate on that, we begin to draw on His faith.
Right.
That's in us already.
Right, so good.
And so His faith is a higher faith, right? So when we draw on that faith and you speak to the dead person, the dead person is going to come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes practice as far as the time you're spending with Him, you know, because it's all really faith is nothing more than just a relationship with Him, knowing. Trusting what He's going to do, but He's in you. You're dead, but you're really not dead because His life is in you. Right? Okay. So this is so, it's a mysterious thing, and that's why we have a hard time wrapping our heads around these things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're living, but yet He's living in us, but yet we're dead, right? I mean, right. But when we're dead, then the influence of the world or the government of this world has no effect on us.
Mm.
When you keep yourself dead,
it
won't have any effect on you at all whatsoever, because you're living from a different government. And so I had several scriptures here that Jesus spoke. It says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So we already have all the power over the enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
"Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him." Wow, those are pretty powerful things that he's saying. Then again, I know this is about the relationship. In John 15:7, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you."
Mm.
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of a big ego. That's gotta go.
It's already dead,
you
but you gotta keep it dead.
Yeah.
It's already dead.
It's not dead if you're still very...
You have to reckon it. It says reckon it. In other words, you know, count it as already dead. If you don't count it as dead, then it's not going to stay dead. If you don't count it as dead or reckon it as dead, it's not going to stay dead. That's why I say that's, I mean, that's why we have a hard time wrapping our heads around this stuff.
I think that's why Paul says, I die daily, right? There's those voices are always creeping up to pick up an old a lie or pick up activity of the old government. They're picking up things from the previous man who didn't have the revelation of kingdom or knew who he was in Christ. They're constantly trying to come in. And when Paul says, I die daily, he's saying, look, I almost have to reject these things with an active declaration. This is not of you. This is not who I am. This is, right, this is what's true. And so, yeah, I think that the voice of ego constantly is creeping up to try to come back and take a place.
I wrote a little note. It said, yoke myself to the unknowing of God.
Say that again.
What? To the unknowing?
Yoke myself to the unknowing of God.
Unknowing.
In other words,
yeah,
the more you think you know God, the more you know you don't. See what I'm saying?
If we think we have to understand everything about God, then we have a pretty small God.
Right.
Because he lives way outside
and
our
that's
logic
why
and
he,
understanding.
That's why he's told us to come to him as a child, because
right.
a child has no
simple.
Demand to know all
there's
the answers.
There's no limitations
right.
to a kid. There's no limitations. I mean, it's
right.
like, just like as an example at work, and I've told you guys this before, but I was with my coworker, a young guy, and we're just talking. You know, I've shared all these different testimonies to him, and he bought a pair of boots. And one of the boots was smaller or whatever than the other one. And so I think it was his right foot or whatever. And he says, man, when I put this boot on, I can feel my toe hitting the end, but the other one doesn't do that. And he jokingly said, well, why don't we pray to make the boot bigger? And I'm going, oh, that's an awesome idea. let's do that. And so we did. We pray, and he was kind of freaked out. He goes, oh, you're freaking me out now. I said, no. I said, you asked for that. There's nothing impossible. Let's
right,
pray.
Right, right.
Let's pray. So we prayed over the boot. He tried it on, and his toe didn't hit it anymore.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Wow.
Right? I mean, come on. And so that's how we're supposed to live our lives.
I'm so conditioned to think God only cares about this. God only cares about this. God wouldn't bother himself with this. That's not what Scripture says.
No. Well,
he cares about our dreams. He comes alive with our passions.
So
the problem
God
is we don't believe.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, I say to myself, Linda, do you believe what he's saying? Do I believe the word of God is 100% true all the time in every circumstance? And my answer to that, glibly,
mm-hmm.
is yes, I believe. Yet,
I don't.
I would never think to pray for a boot that's too small. I wouldn't believe.
Wouldn't even cross your mind.
No.
Right.
Well, I think God has a sense of humor. Just like, remember that story about the rock? If you do this, what? Was it a rock? And they prayed about the water. It would rain around the...
Oh.
Remember that story about the rock and the rain? And it was either on the outside or on the rock or...
Oh, yeah.
Remember? I can't...
The fleece?
The Gideon?
Yeah.
That was Gideon. Yeah, you're right. It's Gideon.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I believe God has a sense of humor. I really do. If you can't get really
if
like...
If you're real, make the moisture.
Whack
if you're real, here. Yeah.
Look at the platypus.
Yeah.
Exactly. Getting back to seeing and praying like something for a boot. Literally, for years, when I get a task, I pray.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think I've shared this before. I did a job 5 years ago. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I got it done on time. And the planner asked me, how did you do that?
How'd you do that?
And I said, I prayed.
Mm.
And everything just fell into place. And likewise, yesterday, the same thing worked. So praying for things like that is totally true. Because
right.
the
right.
Holy Spirit, God opens he makes you see something you didn't see 5 minutes ago. You're like, how am I going to do this? Then all of a sudden,
wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, about yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
That was sweet.
Okay.
Because the Lord answers in very simple, sometimes in just such simple ways, things that, like you said, that we wouldn't think of, and yet it's simple. You know, there's things that he always says, because he takes these incredibly complicated, complex, I mean, my brain would fry in 1 second. He's trying to contemplate what he has to figure out on a daily basis, just crunching numbers and all this. And he always says there's a key. There's always a key, and it's always a simple answer.
Yes. That and case in point is yesterday. It was incredibly complex, all these different angles and stuff, and they had wanted something done to it that they didn't previously want. So then I had a computer model of it, and I had the real deal that I had already done something to for them. And when I left work Friday, I looked at it for about an hour, and looked at the computer model, and I prayed. And I said, God, I know there's a very simple solution to this. And the next morning, I've got a young man who is now alternate lead of my shop. And we're sitting there with two computers with the model in two different views. And as we were talking, I put some tape here, some tape there, and I said, give me the number from here to there, and I made a mark from here to there. And then I took a stapler, and I raised this thing up and put the stapler under it. And I said, does that look straight to you? Yeah. And so he went and got this electronic angle checker and put it on there. It was within 1/10 of a degree, which is like the thickness of your hair. And I said, I think we have a plan.
That's amazing.
And I had prayed for wisdom from the Holy Spirit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, didn't need the computers. Didn't need all that fancy.
They were trying to figure out with a computer, and they were just getting more and more confused.
Wow.
Well, you found all the computers.
That's amazing.
I took tape and a pencil. Tape and a pencil.
That's awesome.
And a stapler.
Yeah.
And a stapler.
That's crazy. So back to the idea that each of us, if we don't believe, being able to practice and exercise our faith, like the day that I chose to believe that Christ was the answer to everything, but I don't experience that
right.
degree of faith every day in every situation, and I believe there's a simple answer.
Right. Well, I was thinking when you said that, I thought it's not that I don't believe, but I think there's maybe a gap between what we believe and our experience.
Mm.
And so our journey is closing that gap. And instead of seeing something as, oh, I don't have faith for this, I see it as, oh, there's an invitation for me to step into something that I have not yet experienced.
Mm. Well, also, too,
it
has to become a lifestyle.
Right.
When it becomes a lifestyle, then nothing's impossible because you're going to try it anyway because
yeah.
it's your lifestyle. It's what you do. It's how you think.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting back to your point is you reckon yourself dead. So you can be dead, but the habits are still there.
Right.
Because you said habit, and that's
right,
good.
Right.
But the habits can be overcome.
I like how you talked about our spirit. It's like our spirit's waking up. It knows these things.
It already knows
right?
those things.
So this things our spirit knows is coming into our mind. We're learning to for our mind to like come into agreement with that.
With our soul.
And then we respond to it. We act, and it's like it's in that place of in our spirit. And here, and then to our action, that we create these new habits, and like now we're releasing this new response.
Well, it's just like the example that one of our friends from Bishop, she had heard, I forget, oh, it was somebody from, it was Keith Franti.
Yeah.
He had been praying, and for signs and wonders, right? And so he kept practicing putting a guitar pick on the wall.
Right. You
know, a guitar pick.
And he was praying that it would just, that the Holy Spirit will hold it there. And he kept trying. And then finally, one day, it stuck. It just stayed on the wall. So one of the gals from Bishop thought, okay, well, I'll try that. And so she did it with a dime, and she stuck it on the door, I think it was three or four times. And then finally, after she prayed, "Father, just show me signs and wonders, let this dime get stuck on the door," and then bam.
Right.
Who would even think about praying a prayer like that?
I think he enjoys practicing with this.
And discovery, and your childlike faith, and your...
Yeah, I think he loves it.
I think he does too, yeah.
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 It's funny, the childlike thing, because that was my approach yesterday. And this young man was so amazed at the end of the day. And I just looked at him and smiled. I said, "I like simple." I said, "My teachers used to call me simple." He just loved it. Our relationship with God is so simple. It's just loving. And that's it. It's not complicated.
I just keep seeing PVC pipes lining up.
That's really good.
Like you said, you're invited to step in.
Yeah.
Like, I see God, this downpour, like a big, huge waterfall, like all the time.
Right.
But so, I don't feel Him.
Right.
But I don't experience those things in my life. In other words, like, so it, you know, I'm glad that works for you, but that's just not where I'm at.
Well, let me leave you guys with these last thoughts here that you can meditate on. So in the kingdom, there's only life and increase.
Right. That's good.
Of His government there shall be no end.
Life and increase. Okay? And plus we also have the power to create.
Right.
And then, so out of that, we learn how to bear an image of heaven on earth.
There you go.
We learn to bear an image of heaven on earth.
Right.
Okay. And so the other thing is, there's power in our words and our thoughts. Mm-hmm. There's power in our words and our thoughts. So whatever you're saying or whatever you're thinking, you're going to empower. So make sure that it's in agreement with heaven.
That's awesome.
And so the last thing is, we see these things around us, even flowing from Hollywood. All these movies they've been making about the comic book superheroes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's prophetic of who we are.
That's really good.
It's prophetic of who we already are. Mm-hmm. We are superheroes. Mm-hmm. We are. Mm-hmm. We can speak to that thing to go away, or speak to that, whatever. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, Father, right now, whatever, if there's any type of... Father, obstacles, Father, or blinders, or whatever, Holy Spirit, just remove them right now in Jesus' name. And also, Father, we just command any trauma or stress that we picked up along the way, we command it all to go right now. Command it all to go right now. And Father, you would just bring peace and rest.
Right.
Peace and rest in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we ask that during this next week, Father, that you would continue to encourage us, Father, in stepping out, Father, in the impossible. Mm-hmm. Father, that you would just give us, also give us courage to practice that out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I just thank you for that.
Good.